If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to open up to the Gospel of Matthew. That's the first book of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We're in Matthew this morning. Turn to Matthew chapter 11, and we are going to read verses 27 and 28 in just a moment. Matthew 11, 27 and 28. And if you don't have your Bible, we have one in the back of the room. And you can get that, or you can follow along with someone who is near you. Matthew 11, verse 27 is on the screen behind you, in front of you. And I invite you all to read these words with me. My Father has entrusted everything to me. No one truly knows the Son except the Father. And no one truly knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we are grateful for this gathering and pray that you would bless us with your presence and speak truth to us as we go. Lord, we acknowledge that we are the body of Christ. We have the mind of Christ, a heart of flesh, a fire in our bones, and yet we long for more of you because we believe you're that big. We're always learning more about who you are, and we believe that we're always learning about who we are, and there's more to surrender. More to receive. So God, give us more. And hear us as we pray these words of Jesus from John chapter 17. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Type that into the comments or say that with me. Come, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And again, grateful for those who are gathering online, but grateful for those who are in the room. I want to invite you or give you permission to find us on Facebook, our page, and interact with those who are online. I'm going to invite you all to do some things. Let me remind everybody that we are core worship, rooted, restful, and relational. We are rooted in Christ and in His church that spans the globe and spans all of time. And we are rooted in this church here in Marvin and Tyler and Smith County and East Texas. We're rooted in a denominational tradition, liturgical tradition. We are global Methodist, and we are rooted in community, and it's life-giving. We are also restful in the practices that we keep, those things that help us to remain in Christ, being tethered to God and to each other. And we are relational with God, with each other, and with the world. And last year we drilled down into all three and also what it means to be rooted and what it means to be relational. And you can find that content on our YouTube channel, but all of these things are so much more than content that we consume. We're shaping who we are, living into who we are. And so far this year we've been drilling down into what it means for us to be restful. And if you're with us online or in the room, I want to invite you to type this into the comments. Rest feels hard right now because, and fill in the blank. Rest feels hard right now because we've been looking at the weather since Wednesday trying to discern, are we going to meet in person or online? We've had phone calls and just so much going on. What is that for you? Rest feels hard because we started this series 2 weeks ago in Ezekiel chapter 47 as a prelude to all the rest that will follow, whether in this series or in life. And there in Ezekiel 47, we saw that God's presence is the source of life and mission. We don't create it. We enter into it. We enter in at God's invitation. God's presence precedes participation in his life. God's presence precedes even his invitation. Last week we were in Matthew 11, verse 27, and we said that salvation is the prerequisite for participation in God's life. And just like God's presence, salvation is a gift to us. We cannot work hard enough to obtain it or be smart enough to achieve it. We cannot save ourselves. Jesus saves. That's it. He is the only one. And that is liberating as it starts to make its way into our head and into our heart. Salvation, that gift, that reality is so freeing. It's liberating. It's marked by God's presence, and both are God's grace. Both are gift to us, and the order matters. Presence, salvation, rest. God acts first. We receive second. And then we live our lives differently third. This morning, we continued the scripture that we'd been reading. And so 27, and then again, Matthew 11, 28. And our focus is on this gift of rest. And last week, we were in Matthew 11, 27, where we said, rest is revealed to us. Literally, in that verse, we talked about the role of the Son in revealing the Father, in revealing rest. And this week, he is appealing to a response to that revelation. He's appealing for us to respond. And so, as we looked at the scripture that we read this morning, it was just the same last week, looking at my Bible. I want you to notice there are red letters for some, most. And those red letters mean that Jesus is talking here. These are the words of Jesus, and he is giving us an invitation. His words are, come unto me. And this is a clear invitation towards a goal or a prize. And so I want you to take a second and reflect and write those words, come unto me, in the comments, because that's the first part of Jesus's invitation. Come unto me. That goal, that prize is Jesus. And he says, come unto me all, which means all. Last week, Jesus said, all things have been given to me. All things were created by him, for him, through him. He is a part of, responsible for, the sun rising every day, sends rain and inclement weather on all people, the good and the evil alike. All things. He's also a part of this mission. He is responsible for the mission and the linchpin of the mission, the hinge, his death and resurrection. All things necessary for us to experience the fullness and the rest that he's offering, given to him. This week he is inviting people. Come unto me all. And this invitation is profoundly simple, and it is especially for those people who are weary and burdened. Come unto me and I will give you rest. And there are several ways we feel the weight of this load, all those who are weary and burdened. There are several ways we feel the weight and the burden that is a part of living life. Sometimes it's the yoke of the law that's too heavy a burden to bear. Sometimes it's the crushing load of guilt that we carry around within us when we mess things up. Sometimes it is the cares of this world, the problems that are too much for us to solve, too great for us to handle. And if we're honest, sometimes, most of the time, it's all three of these things: the law, the guilt, the weight and cares of this world, intertwined around our legs or like a noose around our neck, and we are fumbling, stumbling, struggling, suffocating beneath this load, this burden that is on us, and it's all grinding toil that calls for desperate measures to be taken. And sometimes we take that on ourselves. I just do more or try harder or be smarter. But Christ issues one of the most gracious invitations into the kingdom that is found in all of Scripture. To those who are crushed beneath this load, this burden, come unto me and I will give you rest. And he's not saying, come unto me and you will learn how to rest. Come unto me and you'll figure it out eventually. Jesus is saying quite literally, I will rest you. Come unto me and I will rest you. I want you to write that down in the comment. I will rest you. Jesus is saying it is my presence that gives rest to the weary. He did not promise our burdens would go away. Never said we'd never be weary again. He promised rest. And this is not a skill that we master. It is a gift that we receive. Rest is found in Christ alone. You can write that down as well and take it to the bank. Rest is found in Christ alone. And if that's true, since that is true, why is it that we feel so unrestful, unrested? Why is it so complicated, seemingly so hard to get day in and day out? Well, I want to remind you, we've talked about this months ago, that unrest is universal and it is personal. So this idea of unrest is something that everyone experiences and none of us are oblivious to. You think about the weight of the world and the things going on in this world like suffering and atrocity, war, fatigue, indifference to that war, fear, force, and trauma, corruption and abuse of power at the highest levels. Think about the things that we experience, demands that seemingly never let up because there are children to parent and mouths to feed and homework to finish and after school practice and jobs to go to, bills to pay, errands to run, decisions to make, bodies to take care of, bodies of Christ to take care of, so many things vying for our time and attention, and it's a slippery slope for us to make an idol out of any one of those things. And to escape all of this, we turn to comfort or entertainment or food, drink. And these things only feed the frenzy that we feel on the inside. These releases that we come up with, they rarely provide the relief, the rest that we so desperately need. There is nothing around us that feels restful whatsoever. And if we're honest, there's nothing within us that feels restful as well. And that's not an indictment on human behavior. More than moral failure, human behavior, we're talking about the human condition. It's just the way things are. Going all the way back to Genesis 3, when sin entered in, and now in Matthew 11, Jesus names weariness not as weakness, but as something we all share, something we all identify with, something we can relate to. And there are things that we can do to experience the kind of rest that Jesus is talking about, that Jesus lived out of. But before we do anything, and I know I'm sounding like a broken record here 3 weeks in, before we can do anything, we have got to receive something. Before rest becomes this rhythm, it must be received as a gift. And it starts with God's presence, who pursues us all before we even knew there was a God or cared that he existed. When the time was right, God stepped down out of heaven in the person and work of Jesus, who lived in this world just like we do. And when Jesus lived, he ate and drank and slept and experienced inclement weather. Jesus taught in their synagogues. He healed the sick and cast out demons, and he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom. Jesus lived and he died, and in his death, Jesus reconciled us to God and to each other. He satisfied the righteous requirement of God's holy law. Jesus himself said, "No one takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord, and I have the power to take it up again." Jesus died a brutal death, which could not keep him. Death could not hold him. And on the third day, he got up. Amen. Jesus was raised from the dead, and he appeared to over 500 of his followers for a period of 40 days. And then when the time was right, he ascended into heaven. And when he did, because he did on the day of Pentecost, Jesus poured out his Holy Spirit into the hearts of those who realize their need. Yes, Lord. They repent and they receive this gift of God's presence. And that's what it means to be a Christian. Yes. Men and women whose lives are marked by the presence of Christ living in them. And there's always more of God to receive because we're always learning about who he is. He's that big. We're always learning about self. So Lord, give us more. Streams of living water flowing up from within. And all of this is gift to us. Something we receive not by strife. Rest is not something that we produce on our own strength. It is the fruit of Christ's presence within us. We are not, church, we are not human doings. We are not human doings. We are human beings. And for those who receive this gift, we are being filled continuously with his Holy Spirit. That propels the mission. Christ within. And all of this is ground zero for who we are and the direction that we are headed. We've got to get this right. We've got to get this first, because being restful means that God is God and I am not. Amen. Write that down. God is God and I am not. And Jesus modeled that for sure. But more than that, he offers that to us. Jesus did not say, "Well, come to my teaching," or "come to my way of life, come to my commands." Jesus says, "Come to me and I will rest you." He rescues and then he rescues by his presence within us. It's not something that Jesus gives apart from himself. Rest is what happens when we enter in, when we respond to his invitation, when we are brought into his presence. And here's the deal. Jesus Christ is the first one, the only one who was ever truly restful. He lived from this place of deep trust, resting in the love of God the Father, working from this place of rest, not for this rest. Jesus was a non-anxious presence in this fast-paced, frenetic, frenzied world we live in. And what was true of him then in Matthew chapter 11 is true of him today. And we are the body of Christ. His physical presence in the world today, marked by his presence within us. And when we rest in him, we are being more like him than at any other time. And so again, we are talking about identity. And I want to remind you who we are. Rooted, restful, relational. As we begin to own this, and as we begin even to respond this morning and receive it, I want you all to join me in this liturgy that will help sink it in. And if you're watching online, you can participate there in your room. The words are on the screen. Will you all join me and say it like you mean it. Say it so the people who are online can hear you with the microphones that are on the stage. Church, rest is not laziness. Rest is a gift. We receive it, not earn it. Rest is embracing our humanity. Rest is being with God, not just doing for Him. We are not human doings. We are human beings. To be restful is to confess, I don't have to know everything. I don't have to have the future figured out. To be restful is to confess, I don't have to be first. I don't have to be the best. I don't have to be efficient. To be restful is to confess, I don't have to rush. I don't have to control outcomes. I don't have to carry what was never mine to hold. To be restful is to confess, I am not the Savior. I can't fix everyone. I can't save anyone. To be restful is to confess, my values are different. My hopes are different. My trust is in someone different. To be restful is to confess altogether, I am not God. I am not the Messiah, but I need one. Amen. His name is Jesus. Yes, Lord. Y'all, before we close, whether in person or online, I want you to think about one word. Think about one word that describes what you are carrying right now. And without any explanation whatsoever, no one has to know the context behind it, write that word in the comments. One word that describes where you are, what you are carrying, what that weight is, or maybe what it is you've already given over. Type it into the comments as a way of engaging in what God is doing. One word. And I want to invite you, all of you, come to Jesus. Let Him rest you. You don't need to fix yourself. You don't need to prove anything. You just need to receive. Something we need to receive is Jesus. And so, Lord, I'm thankful that You are present right where we are. I'm thankful for Your goodness, Your faithfulness in being present, and all the places that we go, all the ways that we get there. Sometimes You're waiting on us. Always You are leading us. And I thank You for the invitation to receive this rest. We want to take that invitation. We want to take You seriously. And so we proclaim again that we can't fix anything, change anything, save anyone. And so, God, would You bring the transformation? Yes, yes, yes. Would You do a work in us that You might do this work through us? Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. In the uniqueness of this morning and these moments, come, Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.